living in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Declare this.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 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 That is
stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. You're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
I'm going to see a victory. Hallelujah. I'm going to see a victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you just lift your hands with me and praise Him for victory this morning? Hallelujah. Victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for victory in our lives. Thank you for the victories right now, and thank you for the victories to come. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're more than overcomers. We're more than conquerors through you who loved us and gave yourself for us. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. As our ushers come, let's continue to worship in giving. What kind of giver does the Lord love? Cheerful givers. We got any cheerful givers in the house today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I get excited every week when I get my tithe envelope out and be able to feel this out. This is just as much worship, if not more, than anything else we do. So let's worship the Lord as we give today. Would you lift your offering, your tithe up with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. You're the owner of everything. It all belongs to you. You've entrusted us for a season, God. Help us to be good stewards of what you have put into our care. Help us to be faithful and responsible. Holy Spirit, help us to honor you with the first fruits of our income. We give you praise and glory for every blessing that you pour out. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship the Lord as you give. would please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. How many of you are hungry for the Word today? Well, about four or five of you are. I said, who's hungry for the Word today? Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 18. Beginning with verse number 41. And I'm going to refer to Luke chapter 18 later. If you will, just keep that in mind and maybe mark that in your Bible over in the New Testament, Luke chapter 18. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. The Bible says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up on the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Verse 44, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Would you stretch your hand toward me today and pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence and your power that is here in this place today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch every person, every heart, every life who's here, Lord, and those who are watching online today and those who will be watching later. I pray that your Holy Spirit would capture their hearts. Father, we need a move of your Spirit. We need rain in our midst. And we're asking, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn in us once again. Meet with us, Lord. Meet with us in a powerful way, in a fresh way. Oh, God, we're just asking you, Holy Spirit, be glorified in this place. And may the word of the Lord go forth in power with great unction of the Spirit of the Lord. And we'll give you the praise. You said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we're just thanking you for the liberty in the house today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you for your prayers. The power of persistent prayer. The power of persistent prayer. Elijah said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. His ear had picked up a signal in the spiritual airwaves, if you will. Why is this phrase, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, so significant in this passage? Well, if you understand the context here, you understand that Elijah spoke these words in a place and time where there had not been one drop of water from the sky or dew on the ground in 3.5 years. Elijah had prophesied to King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1, as the Lord God lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. And now he is saying the drought is over. He's saying it's come to an end, and I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I believe this is a word for the church. I feel this in my spirit. I feel like the Holy Spirit whispered to me, and he said, I want you to tell my people, and I want you to have them proclaim it with you, the drought is over. The dry season is over. It's time for harvest. It's time for the rain of the Spirit to pour out over this church again. It's time for spiritual hunger to be birthed in the people. It's time for people to get back to persistent prayer and seeing the hand of the Lord come upon us again and the power of the Holy Ghost moving in our midst. I'm here to tell somebody here today, God is not dead. He's still alive. The Holy Spirit is still moving, and He's stirring up the hearts of the people. He's stirring up the church again toward revival, toward prayer, toward renewal, toward restoration, toward revival. He's trying to get us back to that place where we can hear clearly the voice of the Lord, and the power of God is moving in the midst of His people. I hear the sound. We know what rain from a physical standpoint meant. Rain meant life. As I was preparing this morning in my office, I kept saying that over and over. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, and then it just the heavens unleashed at that moment. It was one of those moments, okay, Lord, yes, I know that this is what you want me to say today. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Life. It meant life, restoration, and recovery. Rivers will run again. Fish will be caught again. Crops will grow again. There will be joy where there has been sorrow. There will be laughter where there has been weeping. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Anybody hear that sound with me today? I'm not just talking about a little shower. I'm talking about a torrential downpour in our souls and upon our lives. I believe that Jesus is coming back for a church that's on fire for Him. He's coming back for a church that's praying, that's persisting, that's keeping on. They're not sitting over in a corner somewhere saying, I'm the devil's just always on my back. No, they are persistent in prayer, and they're on the offense and not the defense, and they're seeking the face of God as a church. You know what I like about this passage, this theme that just comes out? He's basically saying help is on the way. I don't know about you, but something, when I hear that help is on the way, it brings hope. You ever been broke down on the side of the road and you got a message that says help is on the way? That makes you feel a whole lot better, doesn't it? Turn to your neighbor and tell him help is on the way. Hallelujah. Help is on the way. The answer is on the way. Breakthrough is on the way. Anybody need a breakthrough today? I'm here to tell you Jesus is here and breakthrough is on the way. Hallelujah. There's just something powerful, encouraging, faith-building about knowing that it's on the way. It puts a zeal back in your soul, a fight back in your spirit. It gives you a strength to hold on and to press on regardless of what the circumstances are, because you know help is on the way. Better days are ahead. The sun is going to shine again. There is light at the end of the tunnel. I'm talking about hope this morning in the Lord. Change is in the atmosphere. The rain is coming. Restoration is coming. Healing is coming. Peace is coming. Joy is coming. Anybody believe with me? The harvest is coming. The harvest is already coming. Oh, glory to God. Don't you miss this truth. He said, I hear. Everybody say hear. The sound of the abundance of rain. You've got to hear it. Well, maybe you say, well, I don't see it with my natural eye. Here's a truth that I want you to get in your spirit this morning. You've got to hear and believe in the Spirit before you will see miracles manifested in the natural. I'm going to say that again, because you've got to get it. You've got to hear and you've got to see in the Spirit before you're going to see miracles manifested in the natural. Oh, hallelujah. Just because you haven't seen it yet physically or in the natural doesn't mean God's not working. Isn't that what we just got through singing about? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. I wish somebody would help me preach the word of the Lord here this morning. God is still on the throne. He is still working. And when people get persistent in prayer and they get serious about praying and seeking the face of God, you will see the results from your prayers. They may not come in the moment you want them to, but whatever you sow, you're you're going to reap. We need to sow some seeds of prayer and seeds of worship and seeds, hallelujah, of the harvest. Hallelujah. That word sound, he said, I hear the sound. That word sound is not just talking about a noise or a racket. It's actually talking about a proclamation. Oh, hallelujah. You see, it's a decree in the spirit realm. You have got to decree it in the spirit realm before you will see it manifested in the natural. Hallelujah. What is the rain for you today? The rain is God's power visiting your life in whatever area or areas of drought, whatever areas of lack, whatever areas that are broken or empty. The rain of God wants to visit you in that area. The rain of God is taking every plan, every plot, every scheme, every weapon that the devil has devised against you and turning it around for your good. What the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it around for your good and my good. What the enemy has meant to destroy this church, I'm here to tell you this morning, I declare this in the spirit realm, what the enemy is intended to destroy this church with, God is going to use it and turn this church around. He's going to, God's going to turn this church around. He's going to move us forward in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I hear the sound. I said, I hear the sound. Somebody declare it with me and proclaim it with me. Declare it in the spirit realm. I hear the sound. The abundance of rain. Hallelujah. How many of you know when the Holy Ghost shows up in power, the enemy has no choice but to flee? That's why he fights a move of God so strong. That's why he tries to distract in every way he can. Distract us from praying and fasting and immersing ourselves in God's word and telling people about Jesus. Every time you turn around, there's some kind of distraction and some kind of opposition. But just because there's opposition doesn't mean you have to give up. As a matter of fact, it ought to give you incentive. It ought to give you determination to keep on pressing on, because the very fact that the enemy is fighting you, the very fact he is opposing us, is just another validation and another confirmation that you're on the right track. The devil doesn't fight those who he's already got, but those who are seeking God and doing a work for the Lord, that's who he's coming after. But he said, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him, because greater is the one who is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah to God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Greater is the one who's in you. Hallelujah, we're overcomers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, there's a danger in looking at someone like Elijah, because sometimes we'll say, well, what a great man of faith he was. He said there wasn't going to be any rain for 3.5 years, and there wasn't. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. I don't know if I have that kind of faith and power in my life, but that is exactly the way the enemy wants you and I to think. And it's actually the opposite of what God's word says. James 5:16, listen closely to it. James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I hope you know that that word man there actually means either one, man or woman, male or female. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. In other words, it has a whole lot of supernatural power behind it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Don't you miss this. And he prayed earnestly it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The rain was on the way, but there was still work to be done. He said Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Another way of putting it is we have a nature like Elijah's. That human nature. But how many of you know that you've got Jesus Christ in your life and the Spirit of the Lord is in your life? You've got, I told you last week, and it's kind of the theme that the Spirit of the Lord has been giving me here lately. You have power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to rise up and utilize that power and utilize that authority in Jesus' name. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. But there was still work to be done. Ahab went to play, but Elijah went to pray. How many know there's a lot of people doing a lot of playing today? And they seem to be doing a whole lot more playing than they are praying. Anybody hear what I'm trying to say today? And listen, there's nothing wrong with playing. There's nothing wrong with having a good time and going and doing fun things. But I'm here to tell you, if that's more important to you than praying, if that's more important to you than the spiritual things, because let me just tell you something, while you're doing these things, you ought to be praying. You ought to be seeking the face of God. He said, pray without ceasing. If all these other things are more important than seeking God first, then your priorities are out of alignment. We've got to get back to putting God first. We got to get back to praying more than we play. We got to put that as first priority in our lives. E.M. Bounds, one of the greatest men of prayer that ever lived, wrote a number of books on prayer. Maybe you've heard about him before, E.M. Bounds. He said, God does nothing except an answer to prayer. So if things, they seem stagnant and nothing is moving around you, then it's time to check your prayer temperature. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. If things seem lifeless and the Spirit of the Lord's not moving in your life and you don't feel a connection to God and you wonder where God is and there's no intimacy, there's no closeness with God, how many of you know that you got to go back and check your spiritual temperature and find out what's going on? Check your prayer temperature. How many know that revival came through the wings of prayer? Many times in this land, many times in this nation, revival has come through on the wings of prayer, and it's still going to come through on the wings of prayer. It's not necessarily going to come through preaching. If it was going to come through preaching, then we would have had many revivals already. But how many of you know he didn't? He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. God will use preaching. He will use teaching. He will use music. He will use all of these as avenues to bring about the move of God in these last days. But I'm here to tell you, and I'm gonna prophesy it here today, revival will come on the wings of prayer. When the church gets back to prayer, when the people of God get back to prayer, when America gets back on its knees, America will experience revival again, and it will be a witness to the whole entire world that God is still on the throne and God is still moving. And he's coming back for a church that's on fire. He's not coming back for a weak church. He's coming back for a church that's pure and spotless and holy without blemish. I'm ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to get the church ready. It's time to sound the alarm. Jesus is coming again. Get ready. Get ready. Oh, get ready. Jesus is coming again. It's through the anointing the yokes of bondage are destroyed. And there is no anointing without persistent prayer. We're talking about the power of persistent prayer. Persistent prayer says, I'm not giving up. Just because it's difficult. Just because I haven't received the answer that I've been looking for. How many know that some prayers that you pray will outlive your lifetime? Hebrews 11 said, these all died in faith, having not obtained the promises, yet they died in faith. And because they died in faith, you and I are here today on what they went through, on what they accomplished for us, on what our forefathers went through for us. You're sitting here today because somebody paid a price. Anybody willing to pay a price for the next generation? Anybody willing to pay a price for after you're gone? Because it ain't just about you and your generation. It's about the generations to come. Well, I don't know what it's in it for me. Well, if that's the attitude you've got, then you've got the wrong attitude, because it ain't just what's in it for you. It's what's in it for others as well. There are others who need to experience the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. I want to experience all of it while I'm here, but I want my children and my grandchildren and their children, I want them to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, laying hands on somebody who's demon possessed, and that demon has to go out of them in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, the power of God is real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elijah, I'm trying to move along. He got himself in the birth position, head between his knees, and to begin to labor in prayer for what he heard in the Spirit. How many of you know, just because you received a promise doesn't mean that promise is automatically going to come to pass? You've got to work that promise. Your prayer is what gives birth to that promise. We've got to pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on us. You got to pray. Some of you are thinking, I don't know. I'm trying to think through that. You got to pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on us. How many breakthroughs in our lives have been aborted because we failed to give birth to that promise through prayer? How many times have we been on the brink of a breakthrough to fall short of that breakthrough? It was Elijah's persistence in prayer that brought the miracle to pass. You've heard me talk about praying the scripture before and how effective that is. Here lately, I've been reading a book entitled The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. Any of you ever heard of that before? Raise your hand if you've heard of this book. It's a powerful work, powerful book. I'd encourage you to get a copy of this book and read it. It will change the way you view prayer and practice prayer. I like what he said on page 96, and I'm just going to read a little bit of it for you. He said, we often view prayer and scripture reading as two distinct spiritual disciplines without much overlap. But what if they were meant to be hyperlinked? What if reading became a form of praying and praying became a form of reading? One of the primary reasons we don't pray through is because we run out of things to say. Our lack of persistence is really a lack of conversation pieces. Like an awkward conversation, we don't know what to say. Or like a conversation on its last leg, we run out of things to talk about. That's when our prayers turn into a bunch of overused and misapplied cliches. So instead of praying hard about a big dream, we're left with small talk. Our prayers are as meaningless as a conversation about the weather. The solution? Pray through the Bible. Say that with me. Pray through the Bible. Prayer was never meant to be a monologue. It was meant to be a dialogue. Prayer was never meant to be a monologue. It was meant to be a dialogue. Think of Scripture as God's part of the script. Prayer is a part. Scripture is God's way of initiating a conversation. Prayer is our response. The paradigm shift happens when you realize that the Bible wasn't meant to be read through. The Bible was meant to be prayed through. I love that. And as you pray through it, you'll never run out of things to pray about. The more you're in the Scripture, the more you can pray. What do you mean? Well, give me an example of that. Well, the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 6, for example, be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I can turn that around, and as I'm reading, I can say, Lord, you told me not to be anxious. You're telling me not to worry about things. So today, God, instead of worrying, I'm going to turn this thing over to you with thanksgiving. I'm going to thank you in advance for moving. I'm going to thank you in advance for turning it around. Oh, God, by the way, thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, God, for pouring it out on my life today, because I actually woke up feeling anxious about it. But now that you have turned my spirit around through this word, I'm going to believe what you're saying. I'm going to walk in peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about praying the word. Listen, if you get your word out and you start praying what's in the word, you'll never run out of things to say. You'll never be that person that says, I just don't know what to say to God. He's given you 66 books to pray through. This could revolutionize your life. You start praying the word. Pray the scripture. Elijah sent his servant out to look toward the sea for an answer. I would like to think that the sea represents the word of God. When you are faced with an insurmountable situation, you have to get your eyes on the word, and you've got to pray the word. On the top of Mount Carmel, the Mediterranean Sea was in full view. Through God's eyes, we gain a whole new perspective on the circumstances of life when we see it through the lens of the word and through the lens of prayer. I don't know about you, there's been many times that I was so down about situations, I was feeling discouraged, and when I got into the presence of the Lord, I got into His Word, my perspective on things began to change because I was seeing it from another point of view. It didn't always change immediately, but